Soycle. Welcome to the 1 o'clock No Sour Ha Ha Funny Hour. No Sour Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour. Welcome to the No Sour Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour, which is extra ha ha and fun time because it's Friday.
It is Friday.
We have 1 hour, and then Jane and I are free to do... to relax,
yes,
basically. But this has been a great week of shows.
It really has.
And I'm ready to sleep. But not yet.
Not yet.
We still have this hour.
We got good stuff coming up.
We have some good stuff coming up and had a good hour of guests. So if you missed either of those, I guess any of those, because there was three in total, two in the first half hour, Bill McCoshin and Scott Ross talking about the election coming up on Tuesday.
We definitely have to get them back.
Oh, yeah.
Because
well, especially because Bill, I know that Bill had a big day of press
today.
Yeah, I think he was on up front. He was on other radio shows. And so I forgive him. I will not take it personally that he was a little late to our segment today because I think he was running around. But certainly having the both of them come on and, you know, duke it out
well,
a little bit.
It's but as you said, it is part of the goal of this show and actually of civic media is to hear different sides of things and at least not live in a bubble.
Well, certainly. And that's why I wish we would have had more time with Bill, because when I asked him what is firing the base, like what has gotten conservatives fired up? I wish I would have been able to push him a little bit harder, because his answer was, oh, the objective nature of the Supreme Court. And I was like, really? Like that's what's firing people up? I can see why people who are actual legal experts, people who follow this stuff super closely, for them, that maybe the purity of that is very important. But as it, to counterbalance the guttural instinct, I think that the abortion issue is front and center for so many people, and people have very strong feelings on that. It's hard for me to imagine that there is a ton of people with the same emotional response on the conservative side as people are having about rights being taken away.
Well, and I certainly haven't seen any keep the gerrymander signs. Keep it. It's so good. And because, you know, no.
Yeah. And so, and you know, to be fair to everyone involved, you know, we get to sit here as a media and be objective. We're not carrying water. We have our opinions, but we're not strategists, right? No one's paying us.
For that.
We're not pushing a message because on behalf of campaigns or on behalf of a party, we get to be pretty honest. I'm pretty honest. Are you pretty honest?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I also, you know, he's not going to come on here and be like, well, wish we would have gotten more people fired up. And so, but it's just the instinct of what is, besides just rooting for right, tribalism and rooting for your side, the issue that is gotten people excited to go, like, in you know, in a 2016 Trump excited to go turn out type attitude. But they were at the noon hour. Alan Borsick, always super interesting to talk to as far as education in Wisconsin, and been, you know, literally reporting on this since I was a kid. And so if you want to go back and listen to that conversation, you can always find it at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, which is where you can always find the show notes, which is where I put in links to the videos and articles and everything we reference that you can't see because this is a radio show.
Right.
And a podcast.
But if you want to learn more and you can read the links, you can read all the articles and all that stuff. It's really a wealth of information.
And so, yeah. So go back. Actually, this whole week you should go back and listen. The Piper Perabo interview yesterday was fantastic. Corey Ryan Forrester on Wednesday was fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
he was
we really
great.
Had some great guests. And we have a great guest, another big guest in the lead up to Tuesday's election, Mr. Bradley Whitford. is going to be here. And
that, wait, the West Wing, Bradley
the
Whitford?
West Wing, The Handmaid's Tale, Billy Madison. Lots of different, been an actor for a very long time. Went to Madison East. It's originally from Wisconsin, still very involved in Wisconsin politics. So if you have any, if you have ideas of what we should ask him, shoot us an email, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us, because that's what I will be thinking about this weekend. Is we already burned pitching Wisconsin sitcoms, so I got to come up with
David Mandel.
To David Mandel, yeah. 2 weeks ago, and so now I have to come up with a new fun game because he'll be here for a half hour. So gotta
we'll
put
work
our,
on, we'll
our thinking
work on
caps
it.
On.
Also coming up on Monday, just booked this earlier this morning. Author Jeff Charlet is going to be joining us, and he has done many books about some of the far-right Christian movements in this country, and recently spent some time in Wisconsin talking to people who are pretty extreme.
Yeah.
So he's gonna stay. He'll be with us for half an hour or two on Monday, starting at 12 noon.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, so another big show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll turn off the show and go listen to the Brewers game because they'll be there. And their
right.
That game starts at 1 on Monday. And
that's
so
right.
We'll wrap up our show and then go cheer on the Brewers. But for today, since we still have a show today, I guess the first question I want to ask, and we'll take your stories as you have them. But April Fool's, I mean, this is the end of March.
Yep, last
April
day.
Fool's is tomorrow.
Right.
And I feel like maybe we're too old for April Fools, but you never know.
Some people do this well into their old age.
And I'm not a huge prankster. Like, my mind doesn't think of that way. Of like, ooh, how can we play a fun joke on someone? Or, like, take advantage of people being gullible. Like, that's not necessarily the way my brain works. But I like, you know, a harmless prank. You know, the pranks on, like, The Office. When everything's in jello.
Who doesn't love that?
Or I saw a great one with some college dorm room girls. And I don't know if this was April Fool's specifically, but while their roommate was home for Christmas, they literally gift wrapped her entire
I saw
bedroom.
That. Yeah, I saw everything.
Everything. The walls.
Yes.
Everything. So she just walked in and like the I don't even know how many rolls of wrapping paper they went through to do that. But you know, I mean, it's annoying because then you have to undo everything, but it doesn't hurt anything. And it's like the applaud the effort it took to actually get it done. So, but then sometimes they're just mean. And that's, I think it's like a bad joke. It's like a punching down joke where
yes.
Like, well, it's just not very good.
Yes.
So if you have a great April Fool's story, either something that was done to you or maybe that you did to someone else, we would love to hear it. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Since we will not be on air on April Fool's, if you got a good story, let's hear it. As far as a good prank, not a mean prank, but I have one that my brother and I did to his girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
And I will share that in the next segment. Because for now, as we're waiting for people to share their stories, again, 844-967-2789, what is your best April Fool's Day story? This is not an April Fool's Day joke.
No, it's not.
This is real, and I'm sure Ron DeSantis wishes it was a April Fool's Day joke, but it is not. It is looks like Disney has added a new character to the Magic Kingdom, the troll.
Okay.
So, as you might be aware, since the Don't Say Gay bill, Ron DeSantis has been at odds, let's say, with Disney.
Yeah, big time.
And the massive company that is, you know, the destination for why a lot of people go to Florida every year. But the company quietly entered agreements that rendered the board Florida governor Ron DeSantis had handpicked to govern the special tax district surrounding Disney World nearly powerless. And so basically, for 55 years, the state allowed Disney to make its own rules for developing the land where its theme park sits. But after the company criticized the so-called Don't Say Gay bill,
right,
DeSantis installed his own board to run the district. And with the new board in place, it looked like Ron DeSantis had won until Disney pulled a little switcheroo. And when the board was still Disney controlled, it entered into restrictive covenants for the land that, one, bar the new board from using the Disney name or any of the company's IP, including Mickey Mouse, and gives the district the right to review any proposed changes to properties in the district. So basically, they're just allowed to, like, maintain roads now. And the best part of this is that this agreement is valid until 21 years after the death of the last survivor of the descendants of King Charles III.
Wow.
King of England.
What?
And so this is, I mean, I think it's probably Bob Iger's now CEO of Disney again. And I don't, like, when I think of Bob Iger or, like, Jeff Bezos or some of these, like, super high-powered CEOs, like, I think of Succession. Like, I just think of some of these CEOs as, like, I will crush you. Like, you think that you can go toe-to-toe with me? I will absolutely crush you.
Yeah, you're going to lose.
And I can't help but think that they were, like, because they just went around, like, and everything was public. They did this in this, they, everything so far, as, like, I was reading an NPR article about this morning, that NPR even said, like, mea culpa, that, like, they did this, all of the board, all of the meetings where they were passing all these things was public knowledge or open to the public, open to be reported on. Everyone had access to know that this was happening, and no one raised a red flag.
That's...
And because Disney was just acting super compliant with, like, okay, we will go along with this, and just bided their time. And yet it sounds like, at least on its face, because there's certainly going to be lawsuits about this.
Sure.
But it doesn't necessarily sound like there's a lot of grounds to actually reverse what they did. Which I just, it was already such an overreach of Ron DeSantis, and the fact that, like, conservatives who say small government, like, it was such a backhand to that. But hats off, Bob Iger.
Well, hey, the mouse has got some awfully good attorneys.
All right, we will be right back. We want to take here your April Fool's stories, 844-967-2789.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Rebecca Black?
Yes. I thought you must know this song.
I was a little too old to...
To get on that?
To get on this anthem.
The Friday Friday.
I think I was in my mid-20s, and it was certainly in the crowd of being like, this is so dumb.
The but, 12-year-olds loved it.
Yeah, I think so.
They did.
I forgot what she ended up doing. Rebecca Black. Just...
A flash. She was a flash.
She was a flash.
Was.
But I feel like she ended up doing something. I mean, she had super rich parents, which is how that whole thing got made in the first place.
Oh,
because
no
her parents
kidding.
Basically, like, could fund her recording her own song.
Oh, wow.
And then the internet got wind of it. We're like, wow, this is awful. But it is Friday.
She's got two independent EPs.
There you go.
Her debut studio album, Let Her Burn, was just released in February.
There you go. So she's still doing stuff.
She's still making music.
But tomorrow is April Fool's Day, and I think some people are waiting to find out whether or not Elon is punking everyone. Because tomorrow is supposed to be the day where Twitter will begin removing legacy verified badges.
Oh boy.
From individuals and organizations approved under the company's previous criteria, which, you know, both on most social medias, when you had the little blue check mark, it basically meant that you were someone of, you were either a company, it verified you were who you said you were.
Exactly.
And it was companies, celebrities, journalists.
People in the public eye.
People in the public eye. And now, I mean, I would say that I already on Twitter, because now you can, it's been like there's been the legacy verification, and then there's the people who are paying $8 or $12 a month or whatever it is to get the check mark. So now I, you know, when I see a check mark, I don't really take it seriously as far as someone that I'm supposed to, like, know who this person is.
Sure.
Versus the random person. Like,
right.
I will, and I love him dearly, and he, I doubt that he's listening, so I'm going to throw him under the bus. But my brother started paying for Twitter, and so now my brother, who has, like, 300 followers, has a little blue check mark, and he doesn't even tweet that much. He mostly consumes information, versus me, who recently, now we, on As Goes Wisconsin, we're past 8,000 followers.
Yay!
No check mark. And so it's like, I feel like the blue check mark on Twitter now means nothing.
Absolutely.
It just means like, oh, you paid to have it.
Yes.
Which, and there are other benefits that go with paying for it. Like, I think you get an edit button. Like, there's other features to it. But as far as the status symbol of having a blue check mark meaning something, and
right.
also for the kind of quick identifying of people who are verified who have potentially engaged with your account. But Elon's trying to say, like, oh, like, all people should have equal access to getting it and all this other stuff. But I still think it's dumb. But he's been saying that because for a while they were going to have the legacy and the paid blue check marks. But they're saying as of tomorrow, they will begin removing legacy verified badges from individuals and organizations. And going forward, only paying customers will be granted the verified check marks, which are now blue for individuals, gold for brands and companies, and gray for governmental organizations.
Oh, my.
And so I think for individuals, it's like, I don't know, I think it's somewhere between $8 and $12 a month. But Twitter says it's going to charge businesses and organizations $1,000 per month, including nonprofits and governments, to retain their verification status. And so it's suspect to me that they're doing this on April 1st. But who knows? I mean, they do need to make money. They're like hemorrhaging money right now.
Big time, yes.
And so I just don't know. Maybe for companies it'll be worth it because, look, we all saw what happened with Eli Lilly in that their stock prices plummeted when someone bought a verified blue check mark
and claiming to be them.
created an Eli Lilly account. But I don't know. I just don't see the appeal for this. As an individual, like, I think, you know, there's other arguments that, like, because now there's a For You page on Twitter, which they just stole from TikTok, which is instead of just seeing you have your following page, which is the people you've chosen to follow, and then you have your For You page, which is then giving you things of people you don't necessarily follow that they think you might be interested in,
right.
Which is exactly how TikTok works. But, you know, if you don't get the only people who are verified are going to be pushed on the For You page and stuff. But it's like, I don't know. I don't know if this is it. So we'll find out tomorrow if this is a joke or not, and maybe we'll leave it up to the masses to talk about it a little bit more next week.
And you know, one of the best things about April Fool's Day is the onmilwaukee.com April Fool's edition.
Ah, that is true.
It's magnificent.
That's true.
They spend all year, I think, coming up with bogus stories based, you know, with a grain of truth in them. And I highly recommend you check out their website tomorrow on milwaukee.com because they're hilarious.
I always
They're just hilarious. That is the best thing about April Fool's Day.
Because you don't seem like someone who is a big April Fool's person.
Well, you know how I dislike surprises.
You hate surprises.
So can you imagine how happy I would be if I opened my car door and a bunch of ping pong balls fell out of it? Yeah, I'd be thrilled.
Has anyone ever gotten you?
Not that I can remember.
Not that it was like a lasting image of you, you know, then you went to jail because you killed them.
They can't find the bodies. There's no crime. Where's the crime?
That's a good point. Right? I would never dare prank you, Jane.
I think that's wise.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Mike Rizuka, who is the president of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. We're going to be talking about the Home and Garden Show at the Wisconsin State Fair this weekend. All of the home improvement and garden stuff you'll ever want to see or have or learn about. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We so excited. We gonna have a ball today. Tomorrow is Saturday and Sunday comes afterwards. I don't want this weekend to end.
CRB, Rebecca Black. So chillin' in the front side, in the backseat. I'm driving, cruising, fast lanes, switching lanes with a car by my side. Passing by is a school bus in front of me. Next tick-tock, wanna scream. My time is Friday, it's a weekend, we gonna have fun. Come on.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And this weekend, the 97th annual Realtors Home and Garden Show returns to State Fair Park's Wisconsin Exposition Center on March 24th through April 2nd. More than 350 exhibitors will be there. And I know Jane's so excited.
I am. I love this show.
And so on the phone with us is Mike Rizuka, who is the president of Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors, to tell us what you could expect if you find yourself in the Home and Garden Show. Mike, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks a lot. I'm glad to be here.
So I guess Jane loves this show. I've never been to this show. So for those of us who've never been, explain what to expect at something like the Home and Garden Show.
Well, as you mentioned, there are 350 exhibitors, and they cover a whole range of household appliances to windows, anything you need to improve your house. We really specialize in making sure that people know that they can improve the curb appeal of their home, which is extremely important if you're thinking about selling or just to maintain the value of your house. Also, the interior. During the pandemic, a lot of people decided to really take stock of their house and improve the inside because they spent a lot of time in it. And that extends to like patios and a little bit of outdoor stuff. So we got, I think, 8,000 square feet of landscape displays. And it's one of the main features of our show historically. We've always had a lot of landscaping and outdoor displaying, and it's really a lot of fun.
And those landscape displays, Mike, are usually so spectacular. And considering the weather, at least tomorrow is going to be terrible, and today is not so great, you can just go hang around on some of these patios and pergolas because they're so beautiful, and just pretend like like they're yours.
Yeah, today is the perfect day. This weekend's going to be a good time. The weather's going to be perfect outside to stay inside. And the show, yeah, a lot of people just kind of peruse the landscape area. And what's nice is there are a lot of rock walls and sitting areas in the landscape displays. You can kind of just hang out and kind of get a feel for it and whether you like it and kind of and picture it at your house as well.
And Kristen and her husband are new homeowners. So,
perfect.
Like you said, any question you have, anything you're thinking about installing, any, you know, drywall questions or basement guys or drain tiles or right? I mean, everybody's there.
Yeah, anything from shingles down to basement stuff. So there's someone there that can answer any question. We also, if you go to the website, mkehgs.com, we have a list of all the seminars going on during the show.
Oh.
We have there's a seminar stage that does things like, you know, how to do small plantings and things like that. And there's also a cooking demonstration stage. So between those two, there's stuff going on all day long.
And so I guess, like, when we were talking about sitting, are there people who just come and hang out? Or is, like, when you go, is there stuff to, you should ask questions and talk to the different exhibitors. Is there any, like, activities as far as, like, on hands-on, like, learning? Or do some people just come and like is it a very zen situation as far as like the rock walls and just like chill out?
You can do both. A lot of people do come and walk around, and like I said, they'll talk to a few vendors if they're thinking about putting new windows in their house, just to get an idea of what's all involved in it. You know, just logistically, how long it takes to get the windows and the cost and all that kind of thing. And then people just hang out by the gardens and enjoy them.
And I will say, there are certainly things, you know, little shoppy things, and you know, people sell outdoor decorations and things you can put in your garden and things like that. You don't quite have the pitchers that the state fair does with like the mop man, but there's stuff to buy, certainly.
Yeah, no cream puffs, but we do have like garden gnomes, those types of things. There are a lot of like point of sale outdoor decorations and things like that you can really kind of spend a lot of time looking at and trying to decide whether it would look good at your house.
If you need yard tchotchkes, this is a good place to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess with the 350 different exhibitors, are they all Wisconsin companies, or are there people traveling from out of town? I guess both as exhibitors or even as people who are excited over the show.
We have a lot of there are a lot of local exhibitors. So there are a few from out of town. A lot of the like Pella Windows, for example, the national brand, but they have a local presence. We have both. There's the national companies and a lot of local ones as well. Actually, all the landscapers are local. Like Dean from Aquatica is probably the main feature when you walk in the front. Aquatica has a huge pool. It actually looks like a pond with koi fish in it. And they're one of a well-known local company.
We're talking to Mike Ruzicka, who is the president of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors, about the Home and Garden Show happening now. I guess it's not this weekend. It's already started.
Yep.
It started on March 24th. And so I guess as 97 years, and I guess I don't know how long you have been president, but as far as how is this thing, I can't imagine, you know, because I feel like modern day conventions and shows like this, I know what that looks like. Like I can see the pictures, but like, in the history of this show, do you have much like knowledge as how it's evolved over time?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Going back, decades, in the 50s, they used to actually construct a house on the state park grounds, and then they would have a drawing for someone to win the house.
Oh, wow! Seriously?
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. I can't imagine that, yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And so it really has evolved, and you have to evolve. You have to keep up with the times and changes and things like that. Now there's just so much technology involved in houses, from the Nest type of thermostats to the windows themselves. They've got a lot of technology involved, and appliances are crazy. You know, they basically talk to you. It has evolved a lot over even the last, I'd say, 15 years. It's changed a lot.
I just have this picture in my head now, Mike, of 97 years ago. There were five guys sitting around. One's got bricks, and the other one has showing how to people to make fire. I don't know. I just
How to decorate your cave?
Exactly. Early cave drawings, 101. You know.
And so, how has the show been going? I mean, since it started on the 24th, how has it been going?
Oh, good. Actually, our attendance is up from last year. Last Saturday we had that snowstorm, so it kind of put the brakes on things a little while until the snow cleared up in the afternoon, and then the evening was pretty well attended. But this week we started back up on Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday were really well attended. I was just at the show a little while ago, and the aisles are pretty full, and so we're expecting this last weekend to be really a good one.
Yeah, you should be pretty busy. Well, let's talk about real estate in general, Mike, in the Milwaukee area. You know, it's been a seller's market for the last couple of years. Is that still the case?
Kind of. It depends on the price point. So, you know, if you look at prices above, say, $500 to $750 and up, it's a little bit slower. I wouldn't say it's a buyer's market, but it's definitely slower than it was during the pandemic. Under 500 is doing very well. We're not seeing multiple offers like we were during the pandemic to the extent we did during the pandemic. So there aren't 30 offers on a property, but they're a well-priced good quality house, good school district, and good curb appeal, it'll probably get two or three offers on it.
And so interest rates, like the slowly but still climbing interest rates, has not taken down demand that much?
No, it hasn't. And the reason is after the Great Recession, the banks and regulators got really specific and tight on their how much they would lend out to buyers. And so all the buyers that are around now are really good credit risks. So even though interest rates went up a little bit, it might knock some people out of the market because just increasing costs and they can't keep up with it for a short period of time. But the banks, when they evaluate buyers, they take into account, okay, you need a little extra money to purchase a house because interest rates went up. But there's still just incredible credit risks. So anybody that's out there buying can definitely buy and keep up with their mortgage. And so it hasn't, it's slowed things down just because it's reduced the number of people that are eligible to buy or can buy. But overall, it hasn't been a horrible change in the market. And the interest rates are fluctuating. I think they might be, haven't checked them this week, but they're in the 6% range. I think one of the things buyers need to kind of readjust their mental framework around is that the days of 3% interest rates are probably gone. Mm-hmm. I always say interest rates are on sale over the last 10 years and sale's gone now because just the economy and the dynamics have changed so much that we don't, the overall economy doesn't need those 3% interest rates. So they've kind of risen to 6%, which is kind of a sweet spot historically. Even 8%, 6 to 8% is really a good range. And so I think we're going to be in that area for quite a while. And now they're at 6%, which is it's a good deal.
And it's interesting that you say that, Mike, too, because, yeah, I mean, interest rates were kept unnaturally low after 2008, and people kind of forgot about that and thought, well, this is just normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I think we're going back to that. I think I think the market's going, the biggest problem we have right now is a lack of inventory. If we had inventory, prices would moderate a little bit, but there just is nothing in the under 500 range and condos. We desperately need those. The market the developers have been responding to the demand for housing by creating apartments over the last 10 years. And apartments are part of the life cycle of housing, but they don't answer the desire for people to own a property. And that's overall, the American dream is to own something, own property. And we've kind of forgotten that over the last 10 years. We really need to get back to that because it's detrimental for young people that are forming households and want to own a property. And if they can't, they're spending upwards of $2,000, if not more, a month on rent, which prevents them from saving it to put into a house and make a down payment. So it's causing a lot of problems that we're going to have to reckon with in the near future.
Well, and actually, that's an interesting point, because I know Journal Sentinel a couple months back wrote an article about this, especially in, like you said, the life cycle of living accommodations, as people, boomers, my parents, the age group of, like, this house is too big, but I don't want to go rent. Like, it makes no sense. I've paid off my house. And so, as far as, like you said, there's this lack of new condos, and there's so few condos like in the Milwaukee area. And so what is the push and pull to like incentivize developers to make condos instead of apartments? Like, is there a government play there, or does it just come down to the market?
Yes, the government can definitely play a role. Everybody really plays a role. There's no silver bullet in this one. There certainly are some regulatory angles that we could take to reduce the amount of red tape involved in creating a subdivision, subdivisions or condos. The market, the lenders need to kind of look at what developments are a good risk. I think for the last 10-15 years, they've kind of looked at it and said, this isn't, because of the Great Recession and so many banks got burned, they're kind of still, 15 years later, still kind of gun shy about it. So I think everybody needs to reevaluate the mix of in the housing industry and realize that building apartments is not going to help anything.
Absolutely. All right. Well, one more reminder with the minute that we have left. Where can people get information about the Home and Garden Show if they want to go there this weekend?
Go to hgsmke.com, and all the everything that you need is there. The schedule, how to buy tickets. You can get a discount on tickets from Callan Construction. Everything is there. The whole schedule for the cooking stage and the solution stage.
And if you're looking for me tomorrow, find a pergola with a woman who's drinking a beer and eating a burger, because I'm going to pretend.
All right. Mike Rosinkas, thank you so much for spending time with us. He is the president of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. Go check out that show. It'll be a good time. Maybe Mike and I need to stop by to get some ideas for our house. All right. We're going to take one more break. And then when we come back, I'll let you know my best April Fool's story. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It'll all be all right. I'll be home tonight. I'm coming back home.
She ain't real.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and it is almost the weekend.
So nice to talk to Mike Ruzicka about the Home and Garden Show downtown. And I had completely forgotten when he talked about how banks pulled back after the crash in 2008. But when Paul and I were house hunting before we got married, and this was in 2002, and I had forgotten how much money banks wanted to give us.
Mm.
Because we asked for a certain amount, you know, we asked for a certain amount. And they're like, no, you can have twice that.
Yeah.
And I said, no. Are you sure you don't want to borrow $300,000? Yeah, I'm really sure. I don't want to borrow $300,000. But you could get a whole lot more house.
I remember, because I was pretty, what would I have been, 22 in 2008 when everything came crashing down. So I certainly was not in, like, the real estate mindset.
I'm sure.
But I had friends, because that was when I was living in L.A., and I hadn't transferred to Berkeley yet. And so most of my friends in LA were older than me, and one worked in lending.
Oh.
And I remember, because they were all like 4 or 5 years older than me. And I do remember, and I didn't understand it, because I wasn't looking for loans or anything.
Right.
But I remember her, and she worked for like HB something, one of the big banks. And she got really mad at another one of our friends who is like kind of a floater as far as what his job ever was.
Okay.
And I still don't know the details of it, but I just remember that she was like, this is this is unbelievably unethical what you're doing. Because what I think about it now and look back at it now that I've seen The Big Short is he got recruited by someone to be selling crappy loans.
Oh, man.
And she was on the side of like selling actual loans and knew the regulations and what was supposed to be happening. And I just remember her being really upset about it, me not understanding what they were talking about.
Yeah.
But looking like back at it, I was like, oh, that's exactly what they were talking about. Because I feel like, again, with The Big Short, they do a good job of showing that like there was like all these just like random schmoes.
Yes.
Because they were getting paid out on it and just not with, they didn't have very, like, obviously the credentials that they needed. And the whole system was just a farce.
Oh, it was. And unethical is only one of many words that could be applied to some of the shenanigans that went on with that. And if you've never seen The Big Short, it's an excellent, excellent film. Be prepared to be really ticked off after you watch it.
He's pretty good at that. Adam McKay.
Yeah.
Same thing as like after you see Vice, you're like, oh, yeah, like those guys were really bad too. On top of as bad as Trump feels, Bush and Cheney were really bad at everything that was going down as far as their ploy to get us involved in two very long, very expensive wars and the Patriot Act and everything. You're like, yeah, like that was bad. And now we're like, oh, well, like Bush, like he paints.
That's so good. I forgot about
that. You know, it's like, he's just like a sweet old man and he's not Trump. So, but you're like, oh, well, actually, rewind. And so, yeah, wild, wild times. But
I want to hear your April Fool's story.
So this was 2013, 2014. Do you remember the movie that came out? James Franco was in it, and it was called Spring Breakers.
Vaguely. I didn't see it.
I never ended up seeing it either. But it was supposedly god-awful. And, like, it was... I didn't see it, but what I'm thinking of by memory is... James Franco, like, I think he had, like, a grill, but he was kind of, like, a seedy character that was in it, but it was mostly about these four young, hot girls who were on spring break, and somehow they get, like, roped into, like, robbing banks or convenience stores something.
As one does.
But it was just, it looked awful. And somehow my brother and his girlfriend at the time had... accidentally gone and seen it. Like they were somewhere, they were on a trip, and they decided to go see a movie, and they didn't realize what the movie was about, and they went and saw it, and his girlfriend was just like offended how bad this movie was.
Oh, I'd probably like her.
And my brother, and I think I was on a text chain with the three of them, but then my brother texts me separately and goes, "Hey, I'm gonna text you on the other thread and pretend like you've seen this movie and that you really liked it." And so I was like, okay, whatever. So we lead her on. So I was in on the joke. It didn't happen to me. So we lead her on for probably an hour about, I start defending it from like an art house, like movie and like what the deeper meaning was. And I'm just making things up as far as why I liked this movie and was defending it. And he's with her in person. I'm in California. They're on vacation. And he's, like, kind of egging it on. And she's trying not to be rude to me, but is getting increasingly more and more angry.
And agitated.
And agitated. And also, like, disappointed in me that I would even like this movie. And she, like, was starting to lose respect for me.
What kind of family am I dating into? This is wrong.
And I think I forgot at what point in the conversation we finally said, I haven't seen this movie, Natalie. Like, I have no idea what we're talking about. And she obviously was embarrassed because she was so adamant about how could anyone like this movie.
And I would love to, if you could remember the defense you made of calling it an art house film about spring break. That's priceless.
I'm pretty sure I made something about like the deeper meaning and how it's like an allegory for like this, that, or the other.
It's an allegory for a James Joyce story.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And so, I feel like that was his idea. I didn't come up with that, but I feel like that's like a harmless one. It's a little embarrassing because like, why do you care so much? On her part, of like, why did you let this get under your skin? Because it's like not that big of a deal.
Well, again, what kind of family am I dating into? This is not good.
So, but I think I wish I had better ones. I wish I was Jim Halpert and had more more funny pranks that I just don't have the
time.
I don't have the patience or the time. I think that sometimes it takes to pull off a really good prank. But
well, keep in mind, tomorrow is April Fool's. Yeah. April 1st.
Keep your eyes out.
That's right.
But we will be back.
Watch yourself.
On Monday, Bradley Whitford will be here at 1 p.m., so you should certainly come back and listen to that conversation. Otherwise, stick around for Dueling Tangents and the Chad Holmes Show. But we will be back on Monday at 11. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for tuning in to a week's worth of excellent shows. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
He's the one I'm leaving you for.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.